Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Israel's Christian Men's Talk. You've received the text, the link of this newest episode, or if you will, went to the Facebook page at Israel's Christian Men's Talk and tap the link there, or our Twitter account, or you got it in the email. I thank you for taking the opportunity to listen in and join us, and hopefully something will be said today that would encourage you in your faith walk, encourage you in your fellowship with the brethren, and just be able to answer a question to what it means to be saved, what it means to be a man of God, for definition and application to our Christian walk and those brothers around us that we want to encourage each other. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk about a couple things tonight. We're going to talk about what it means. Are we trying to serve God? Are we trying to serve God? Are we living a life as if God does not notice our disobedience? And do we apply God's standard to ourselves as rigorously and as steadfast as we apply it to others? So we're going to bounce that around a little bit, and hopefully we can encourage you. And again, as I've said in the previous episodes, in this season, in this new calendar year, we already went through the first quarter of the year, but we have to continue as men of God to be able to examine ourselves and see where we are, and then and make those corrections, those course corrections where we might have drifted off, and then we can be used by God. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to touch him. We're going to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to see where Moses almost messed up, and then we're going to have a discussion with my brothers here. I got a couple of brothers on the line here, and they're going to join us real soon. Amen. But let me open with prayer, and then we're going to go jump right in. Amen. Father God, first of all, God, I just want to thank you, God. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, Lord God. Father, I thank you today for trials and tests, oh God. I thank you for the situations of life, God, that draw us closer to you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for, God, what you're doing that in the things in the body of Christ, God, that is shaking the church, that is stirring up the church, God, that hopefully is bringing revival to the souls of your people, oh God, that they would know, oh God, who they are in Christ, that the Holy Spirit within them will be stirred up to be the church, to be salt and light, to reach out, to share the gospel, to start to minister and serve in this culture, to be that salt and light that is needed, even all this going on, God. So, Father, we pray today, God, for strength, guidance, wisdom, discernment, Lord God. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, God, for, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing emotionally, spiritually, financially, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're about to do in us and through us, oh God. So, brother, and also I want to thank my brothers who are on the line. I pray for them and their families, oh God. You continue to strengthen them, guide them, set a hedge of protection around them, oh God, and let them be able to lead their families in righteousness, oh God. So we thank you, God, for all that you're doing in us and in the body of Christ. We lift up the pastors, elders, and those who serve in ministry behind the scenes, and those pastors who serve in teaching, admonishing, discipling, and mentoring the body of Christ. This is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I'm going to share something before we get into our conversation, as always. This is our newest episode. And, again, I'm going to stay on the theme of who we are in Christ, the importance of knowing who we are what we believe and why we believe it. And I'm going to go old school right now because I was going through some things preparing for spring evangelism, and I found the old Romans Road. Some of you brothers have been in church a long time. Y'all remember that because you might have got saved with it or introduced. I won't say get saved by it, but you was introduced to the gospel. So I wanted to share that out there because, again, I say you can share this link with someone that you're ministering to, someone you're trying to reach for Christ, someone you're trying to share the gospel with, because, you know, as men, we have a lot in common. We have more in common than we are different. Because as husbands, fathers, and sons, the responsibilities are the same. It's just the names have changed to protect the innocent. I'm going to put it like that. Amen? So when we talk about the Romans Road, we're going to talk about one. We have to understand there's a need. Our need. Our need, and the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know that we all have sinned. We all are in need of salvation. Two, sin's penalty. The Bible says the wages of sins is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. Step three, God's provision. God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. And the final step down the Romans Road, the response that we seek when we share the gospel with someone else. When we share, we seek for them to understand that if they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in their hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, Romans 10:9. And the magic word in that last one for us that are in the body of Christ, we have to be able to explain what believes means. Believes, the definition of biblical believing, because it's by faith we are saved, but we have to believe and agree who God is, who God says man is, who Jesus is, and that Jesus and what Jesus done in his life, in the virgin birth, the life, the sinless life he led, his death, his sacrificial death, and his bodily resurrection, and knowing that now he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. These are the things we must believe to be saved, because we are saved by the faith and hope in those things. So I just want to throw that out there, encourage some of y'all, you know, get your evangelism tools, sharpen your tools up, and get ready to go out and share the gospel with the lost. Share the gospel with those who you don't know, or those who need to be encouraged in the word of God. Because in this season, in this time, there's so much going on. And in this, we see the signs, we see the yearnings, we see the birth pains. But if we recognize all that, why are we not have a passion and desire to save just one more soul for eternity? Because if Christ comes back and the unbeliever hasn't heard or hasn't had the opportunity, at least just, if they just heard the gospel, because that's our responsibility, to plant the seed of the gospel, and then the rest is up to them. How they choose to believe or not believe, choose to be faithful, and then they'll be judged for that. Amen. But we also going to be held accountable for the souls we didn't even fulfill and participate in the Great Commission. So every man's going to have to search his heart about that situation. Amen? Amen. So, gentlemen, I'm here. Let's see. I got Elder Mark and Deacon Anthony. You guys there? Can you hear me? Over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening to you both, my brothers.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
blessed to hear your voice, my brother. It's been a long time.
Yeah, likewise, man. God is good.
Amen. God is good. All right, well, gentlemen, you know, so tonight we're gonna answer some questions. I'm gonna start with, because I'm gonna go to Exodus. I said that Exodus chapter number 4, and there's a lot going on there. But I want to jump down to where it talks about God. God just gave Moses a commission, gave him a job, gave him a ministry to go get Israel out of Egypt. But yet, on the way to Egypt, he's about to kill God because of God was about to kill Moses on his way to fulfill the mission and call that God has put on his life. And we think that's kind of, you know, strange and contradictory, but disobedience is disobedience, and sin is sin. I don't care what you think you believe you were called of God to do. We can't do that if we are not living right. That's basically what we're going to, how we're going to come at this. But I just want to read this real the verse real quick, because we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse number, 24. And it says, I'm going to go with 23. And I said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. He's talking, that was the message he was to take to Pharaoh. And in verse 24 it says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zerah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now, for the brothers who don't know, to catch you up, remember, circumcision was the mark that God made for a covenant for the people of Israel. And Moses had not circumcised his son. Even all he was done in the wilderness and met his wife in Midian, and he failed to follow God's basic instruction to circumcise the child on the eighth day. And God was going to kill him. And this is all after he gave God the assignment, because he was disobedient and something he knew that he should do. So I want to bring that back to us as we talk about, are we trying to serve God and yet ignoring something he told us to do? I'm going to start with you, Elder Mark. What do you say, sir? How are we serving God and is it disobedience?
I definitely have to speak on that. I've been going through a lot of decisions myself, and one of my biggest prayers right now is that I'm having the strength to renounce the desire to be my own savior and let God be God, allow God to be God. See, God gives us instructions, but so many times those instructions we ignore because it seems like it doesn't fit us. It's not what we want to hear, what we want to do. It doesn't seem like it's pushing toward the outcome that we want. Sometimes it feels like, oh, it's not a necessary thing to do. It's not really that big of a deal. It's not that important. It just doesn't fit our desire. So sometimes we move past it. And in this instance, I can't say that Moses was ignoring God, but he definitely was disobedient because he knew the call. He knew what was required. He knew the law. He knew the rules. And so many times we do so, we're committed. We say we're committed to God, what God has for us. We're committed. We're asking God. We need this and we're desiring this. Even in something as much as our fasting, when God says, give up your plea, deny yourself, deny the flesh. But yet in our denial, we start to move toward, and I'm going to jump to myself, even with like the Daniel fast in the beginning of the year. It's been so many times that we've modified and changed things just to fit us when we know what God's call is. And I think if we were to really just move forward on what God has for us and what God is calling us to do without us trying to modify it, trying to change it, we would be in a better place to receive all he has for us. God already knew everything that we needed. God knows everything we need. God knows everything we need to see, everything we need to do, the place we need to stand, even in the midst of the storm, the exact place we need to be to receive his blessings. But so many times we fall out of line because we're trying to do it in our own way, in our own strength, in our own understanding. The word says, lean not upon that of your own understanding and acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct the path. So many times we're trying to make the path for ourselves and then asking God to line up once we get to where we want to get to. I think if we really just lean upon what God has for us, if we stand strong in what God is telling us to do without wavering, without falling short of it, because it may be hard, it may be something we can't explain, but sometimes I'm learning we don't have to have the explanation, we just have to be obedient, because the explanation will come. Sometimes when we're looking for that microwave answer, that quick answer, we're not going to get the quick answer, but we will get the result if we move forward in what God has. Direction and obedience is a necessity beyond that of our faith. We can believe and believe, but if we don't believe, if we don't move in obedience, everything that we've done is a waste of time, because we are still trying to do it in our own will, in our own way, believing that we have the answers. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. And you're right. You know, we want to modify it. We want to serve God and still stay in our comfortable place, our comfort zone. And God's going to call us out of that when he truly wants to move and use us. Amen. Deacon Anthony, what do you say, sir? Are we trying to serve God and yet ignoring something that he has told us to do? What do you say, sir?
No, I was actually blessed. I was enjoying that. But the thing is that even in the passage of Exodus, where you see that Moses doubted his own ability from the request that God had made. A lot of times when we are given instruction, like let's see, when it says in Romans that we are to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, that's a task in itself that the flesh just can't do. That's not how I was raised. It's not what I saw on TV. That's a task that only can come by the Holy Spirit to be obedient to. When God put a request out there, a lot of times what we do is we actually begin to doubt. Even though we know that God will equip us to do it, we still doubt in our own abilities. It's because a lot of times we're tested in our uncomfortable request from God. So even though we want to serve God and our heart has been changed, but we still live in this flesh. And I believe we talked before about it, where I'm saved, but I'm not cured.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have some shortcomings. I still have some things that I'm uncertain about in my walk. I am actually still got a little bit of Egypt in me, even though I've been delivered and my heart has been changed, but my body is still the same. So when God sends a request, a lot of times we get intimidated by it, just like Moses. I'm not a man of good speech. You're going to roll out with all kind of excuses, because the thing is that this is so abrupt. We want to meet the mark, but a lot of times we can't based on our own abilities. When we want to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ, the first thing we have to do is we have to examine our trust, or what you would say, our measure of faith in God. Because based on that, we'll either stay in the same spot or we'll actually move forward trusting God, okay? So when Jesus Christ gives us a request to walk in obedience to him, and we know that the Holy Spirit is on the inside, however, what we'll do is we won't yield to it because of our own abilities. And, you know, I was sharing with my wife not too long ago. I said, you know, the enemy will only tempt you in things that you like. And we know even just from the word of God that eating can be a sin because it can produce greed. And from that greed, you can get all kind of problems based off of, you know, medical imperfections, et cetera, diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it. But the thing is this, if Jesus Christ told us to be mindful of a lot of things that we do, we see, and we do in ritual, because those things have an effect on us, and it either help us to push us towards the mark, or we'll get stuck and become lazy and stagnant in our faith because of what we're feeding off of. So I think what it is that we have to make sure Jesus Christ is the priority first versus our own ability. And I think and I also said this before, I believe if we didn't have Jesus Christ on the inside, we'd be dead anyway. Just as Moses, because that's where the real testimony really is. I just know from my own testimony that deliverance is real. Jesus Christ is real. I'm not what I used to be from the time that I actually look around and I say, okay, well, it's been years since I've been saved. or born again. Okay. So I've been born again years and years ago, and I can actually do a parallel that I stopped doing those things that I used to do, not based on just me getting older. It's just because I had a changed heart and a renewed mind, because I wanted Jesus Christ to be the priority, be the first fruit in my life, and then I want to trust the process. A lot of times if we don't deny ourselves, it's because we think that we got it under control. We think that our spiritual walk is under control and that our flesh has no influence on us. But the thing is that the thing or things around us will have an influence and an impact on our walk, because we want to do the work. We want to be the ones to actually say, okay, I got it now. You know, Lord, you just don't worry about it. I got this part. I know how to lay hands on this person. I know how to pray for this person. Don't even worry about that. I got that. That's a small task. But when he asks you to, like Brother Mark was sharing about fasting and about, you know, and even intercession and even things that we know that we should be doing, those are the things that we put on the back burner, because right now my flesh, it's difficult for me to do that towards whatever it is. And most of the time it's not a request that we're comfortable with. Pray for your enemies and love them and treat them as if they're yourself. So not a lot of enemies I want to be around. That can only come by way of the Holy Spirit. So I think the first part we need to acknowledge is, do we trust God's word enough to put it into practice so that we can do the work and be obedient to Jesus Christ? What do you say about that, bro?
Amen, bro. Amen. Gentlemen, first of all, I want to appreciate y'all coming on, because I pray that someone's listened, and this is helping. This needs to help. This needs to, brothers that you're listening, I hope this is stirring something in you, because, again, you're right, because we're challenged, but in our spiritual walk and our flesh is battling. And for us to be able to submit to what God is asking us to do, and that it like the brother touched on it, you know, the scripture says we are living sacrifice. There's a call in our lives. There's a call and a purpose for all of our lives. But then when God's going to ask us to do something, he's going to equip us. I think that's the thing we have to really understand. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't even have to know how the outcome. But if God is put on your heart and is calling you into a position to do something, we have to be ready to do it. We can't ignore it, think it's not for us, or I don't feel comfortable doing it. I mean, all these excuses, like the brother said, we have a lot of excuses as men of God, that when the call is put out there, you know, I'm going to go back for pre-pandemic right now, because I need all the brothers to check yourself. I want you to all check your oil. Let's go back 2018, all right? Forget the pandemic, 2018. Pastor calls prayer. Who shows up? Do you show up? Do the brothers in the church show up? If he calls for prayer, a weekly prayer, monthly prayer, any kind of prayer, how many men are there? And when we go, and we show up and see the brothers who are not there, is God put on our heart to, I won't say chastise, but engage and find out? Because what I've learned over the years is, you know, pastor will call prayer, and pastor gets 17 phone calls between the time he called prayer and the next morning, telling people telling him why they can't make it. I don't put nobody on blast. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But if you've done that, I'll let God deal with you. But anyway, but see, those are the things. Because brothers, I need to say this to the men. If you are a man of God and you are under a pastor and a part of a ministry, this is where we have to be. Are you trying to serve God, but yet you ignore when he tells you to do something? When he speaks to you through the minister, through the pastor, or through the elder, and you can't find time, you can't, you know what I'm saying? You say you want to serve God, but every time there's opportunity, you're putting other things before it. I think Jesus had a parable talk about let the dead go bury the dead. I'm saying now, there's a couple of things. This thing is just coming to me. I don't have the scripture in verse right now. But you know what I'm talking about. In that, you know, where are we as men of God? And again, this is what I'm saying. We have to examine ourselves. There's a lot been going on in the culture. There's a lot of things going on in the ministries right now. Ministries are gearing up, opening up, going back to face-to-face. There's a lot of things going where God needs his church to rise up and stand up. So now, you know, we have to get to that place now. It's going to take the saints of God and the men of God to be on the front lines spiritually and physically. To be able to be on the front lines, that we can go now and be the church, and minister to hurting people, encourage people, fulfill the Great Commission. There's so much to do. But as men of God, now are we going to get rid of the excuses? That's all I want to say. Are we trying to serve God, but yet ignore something that He's told us to do? And the things are going to come. Ministries, you know, when the pastor calls for laborers into the vineyard or the harvest, are you there as a man? And are you leading your family there? Are you setting an example for your family? As I go back to something I always say to hear Issues Christian Men's Talk, if we can minister to the men, to the husbands and fathers, pastor's jobs would be a lot easier and there'd be a lot less counseling going on. Amen. I'll leave that right there. You know, listen, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark and Deacon Anthony. So I'm not alone in this. So them brothers is my co-conspirators right now. Amen. Amen. So don't get mad at me. I'm not by myself. Don't get mad at me alone. Anyway. But here again. I'm going to shift gears right here because we're going to go to the next one. The next one is, are we living our life as if God does not notice our disobedience? That's the other thing. You know, we make excuses for man. We make excuses to each other. We make excuses, whatever. But do we understand, brothers, that realize that, you know, it's that old cliche, God knows my heart. And unfortunately, God knows your heart, not the stuff you try and hide from other people. That's fine. You can tell me anything. You can give me any excuse. Who am I? But are we living our life as if God does not notice our disobedience? Because that's all excuses really are. Because I say this for my own self. I'll keep myself out there. You know, there's times that I could always make an excuse on why I couldn't be somewhere or do something. I can put it on something. I could put it on my wife, my kids. I could put it on I'm tired. I could put it on. There's a lot of things we can't make excuses for. But like Deacon Anthony said, is Jesus Christ a priority of your life? Is your faith walk a priority in your life where everything else comes after that? That's what we have to search our souls about, and that's where we have to begin to undo who we are and if we need to repent from these things. I'm going to Deacon Anthony first this time. What do you say, sir?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about it is this. That's the reason for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ, is because He does see our disobedience. You know, our disobedience don't start with our flesh. It starts in the mind. So because of the heart of a man is evil and desperately wicked, we have to understand that this flesh needs to be under subjection to the Holy Spirit. A lot of things happen in the mind, though. And they start first in the mind. And we know from Hebrews chapter 10, where they talk about that they bought the sacrifices year after year after year continually, but it couldn't make them perfect. So Jesus Christ came, and see, we have to understand, any brothers out there, Jesus Christ, He is a forgiver, okay? We're not talking about that, you know, to perform sin willfully, just because the blood of Jesus Christ is on us and God lives in us. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying this, and I want to make sure that we understand that, like I said, we're saved, but we're not cured, okay? However, sin and the things of disobeying God that we know disobey God, it starts in the mind, and rationally, we think about things like that. Like it may be something small, okay, that we think is so small. Well, I knew I should have addressed that person, but I didn't. And God wanted us to, just as He's speaking to Moses as well. He's given Moses a task, and he's just intimidated by the task because he doesn't believe he can do it. And the dependency in our lives, just naturally, we depend on ourselves to get us to work. We depend on our cars to start up, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing the work. in other words. But what I've learned is that that should be our foundation, is Jesus Christ being the root to my obedience. If my testimony is real, and, you know, a lot of people say, hey, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Saved means safety. So if I'm running away from something and I'm running to safety, once I'm safe, do I run back out to where danger is? And a lot of times we get caught up that way because the world is looking at salvation to be, well, God loves everybody, and he loves me even in my condition of sin, so I can just keep on sinning because I just can't break the cycle, or I can't find in my heart to where I want to obey him. So the world says, don't, you know, you come to Jesus Christ, you don't have to change. Christ will just walk with you in your disobedience. Then where does repentance lie? And so for a lot of us, especially men, man, we struggle in a lot of areas because the hardest thing to, for us to do is to get away from the tangible things, the things that we could feel, touch, smell, and et cetera, and have that as a dependency. And the enemy knows what he's doing because he's very crafty by using those things for us to actually gravitate to. And then next thing you know, we disobey God in a decision. And it only takes a little bit of time to actually make the wrong decision. And the Word of God lets us know that if we keep our mind stayed on Jesus Christ, we have to keep our mind there. That has to be our daily thing. That has to be what we live for. Sure, we do have to go to work, but I'm working so I can actually, you know, provide and do the things that God would have me to do for my family, et cetera. But I'm also mindful that I wouldn't be able to wake up to get to this job if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. So I think what we have to do is make sure that our foundation is solid, because we will be able to produce the fruits of repentance. If we're saved, and brothers, bros, if we saved, I am not going back out there to danger. I'd like to stay safe. I'd like to keep it safe. I'd like to stay in a safety zone. I don't want to get into a place where I done went so far out there to now I don't even know where I'm at anymore, spiritually, physically, et cetera. And I think that that acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, and just like Brother Mark was saying, acknowledge God first in all things, and he will direct your path. But we have to trust that we are on the right road, because a lot of times we create roads that God ain't ordained us to be on, and yet we want to fulfill those things because we think that we're doing things to please God, and we're really doing things prematurely. So if we don't acknowledge God in our walk, or if God is not before us, everything could be against us. And I use that analogy every day. If I don't wake up, and I thank God for actually waking me up, and thank God for my home, and thank God for his hedge of protection and for being a keeper. If I don't wake up to do that, okay, then I'm putting myself before him, and he could get behind me and just say, hey, Lord, just follow me. I've been doing this for 40-something years. You could just follow me. No, God has to be before you, and then what can be against you? Amen? So what I would encourage brothers to do is to actually search your hearts and make sure the foundation of Jesus Christ is in there, and make sure that everything in your livelihood, you're trying to do things to please Jesus Christ, okay? It doesn't mean that we won't err in our minds. It doesn't mean that we won't err physically, but we have to make sure that we constantly keep Jesus Christ at the head of our table. What do you say about that?
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, I agree. Sometimes we have to we got to stay on course. We got to keep on course. Elder Mark, what do you say, sir? Go ahead.
And you know, to both of you, I'm an analogy type of person, so I just want to put this out there. If you, gentlemen, I'm speaking just, I want you to hear me in this. If you are caught in a fire, and a fireman brings you a fire blanket, once you're surrounded and covered in that fire blanket, do you then say, I'm good with this fire, I can stand and take the blanket back off? Or do you stay and take and follow his lead to get him out because he knows where he's going? He knows how to get out. He knows safety protocols. He knows everything about this fire. He knows what doors to touch, which handles might be too hot. He knows which direction, because if you open a door, more oxygen might come in and make the fire worse or cause it to explode. He's got all this knowledge. Do you leave him behind just because you got this little fire blanket that made you feel a little bit comfortable, that took a little bit of the heat off your back? Or do you stay with him? That's the same thing. We're in a fire. We are walking towards hell's gate when we're talking about being on this earth, in this fleshly journey. The flesh is directing you to nothing but hell. It does not desire you to serve God. That's what the flesh desires. The flesh is connected and wants to connect with Satan, wants to connect with the enemy, wants to be in that fire pit. The spirit man within you wants to connect and take you to a different place. But do you begin that connection, and then as soon as you feel comfortable, drop the blanket and say, I'm good, I'm ready to dance in the flames again? No. Stick with the safety. You stick with the guidance. You stick with what's going to carry you through and get you outside the fire where you can look back and say, Lord God, look what you brought me through. That's what we have to be in. We have to understand we don't know the direction. We don't understand. We're not made to understand this battle. This is beyond us. But the blessing is, even though that we're in the midst of the battle, we know the battle is already won when we follow the direction. But if we're going to pick up and try to fight on our own understanding, we'll succumb to the flame. We'll succumb to the smoke and pass out and die in it because we don't know how to get out. God has already given us all the answers. He gave us a book, literally an instruction manual to life. But how many of us have the instruction manual and won't open it? That's like going into war with every weapon and every gun you have, every gun necessary to fight off whoever, whatever the enemy may be. You have all the weapons you need to fight, but you don't know how to load the gun because you haven't read the instructions. So you need somebody to show you what to do, to help you understand how to use these weapons you've been provided. You can't put on armor if you've never seen it before. You can't use a sword that you've never held before. You can't even stand with a shield of faith if you don't have the faith and believe that it will work. So we have to depend on God. We have to acknowledge him. We have to recognize that he is the source for the source in the midst of our turmoil. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He is everything that we need. Yet when we get into something, as soon as we feel a little bit comfortable, it's, oh, God, I got it. I got this now. I'm good to go. If you went to a city you've never been in and you got into a cab, would you then tell the driver which direction he needs to go? No. You let him take the wheel and drive you where you need to. The same thing. We jump into a situation that we have no idea what to do and then start giving directions. It just doesn't make sense. If you can make sense out of that, then I'm not sure how I can show you or we can convince you that you need to believe. Because believing in God, you're allowing him, you're giving God. See, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He's literally waiting outside the house, waiting outside everything in your situation to come inside and clean it up. But you have to open the door and say, God, please do so. God, come in and take control. God, take control. Clean this mess up. Stuff that we try to hide. There's literally rooms in your house that you hide all day, every day. Even you hide from the front door might look good. The front window pane might look good. When you first see that front room, it might look good. But what about that closet in the background that you've been stuffing stuff into all of your life? That's the things you need God to come and clean up, the things that you don't even recognize are in turmoil. But we so many times figure, just because I got this partially taken care of, I can handle the rest. The rest needs to fall upon God, needs to be in God's hands. And when you do so, everything can get straightened up. That's why the word says, once again, where I said, he will straighten the path. Back to you, my brothers.
Amen, amen, gentlemen. You know, you're right. And it's, and a lot of this, man, we have to consider again. As always, it's your Christian's talk. I know that, you know, the brothers that are here and myself, you know, we're not preaching from a pedestal that we have it all together, that this life is everyday challenge, and we know the challenges and the struggles that we go through as being husbands and fathers, but we have to continue to be able to be rooted and grounded in the Word. And again, we're knowing what disobedience is, and the way we overcome disobedience is to submit We have to get to the place where we're going to submit to the Word of God, we're going to submit to the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to submit to those that are around us who are mentoring and discipling and feeding into our life. Our pastors up every week, they're preaching 52 weeks a year on the Word of God and teaching and sowing into our lives, but are we submitting to it to the point where while we are being obedient to the Word we're hearing, we're applying the Word we're hearing, and then our life is going to change and it's going to help us. Because a lot of our battles, too, Elder Mark touched on it. A lot of what we do in this Christian walk is to prepare for a battle. And what we fail to do is to prepare. All the word and teaching we get, and we start to disciple ourselves and discipline ourselves in prayer and Bible study, is to prepare for a battle to come. Because brothers, you know, both of y'all have been on shows, we talked about that. You don't learn how to fight when it's time to fight. We know that this is what we should be as men of God. We should be in training. We should be preparing for knowing that we are going to be tested and tried, but all that we have, that we should be preparing to deal with it when it comes. So while we live in lives as if God doesn't notice our disobedience, we're not doing the things he's called us to do. And when I say that, too, I want to understand. I want to say it's not we're going to hear the voice of God in a burning bush. God is giving us direction, again, through the Word of God, through the teaching from our elders, our pastors, and from prayer and the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So there's a lot of things working against our flesh, but we have to get to a renewed mind, to a place where we want to start to submit to it and then take the point to where we're applying it. That's the important most thing I can get out of between obedience and disobedience. The line is submission, and that's what we've been saying. Brothers, a lot of us, we have to learn that, because we submit in things in this world. We submit to a lot of fleshy things, but when it comes to the spiritual things, we don't seem like we want to be in that. We want to be in our rightful place. Let me put it like that. So, the living a life that as if God doesn't know, God does know, but God is also. He's not punishing us because we all deserve the wrath, but he's sending people, he's sending teaching, he's using everything he can to get our attention. Even I don't want to seem like I'm on a pedestal, but he's even using these discussions on our talk show, on these different episodes, to someone needs to hear what we're saying because of what they're going through, or preparing for what they're going to go through. You know, it's funny. I want to share this, and then we're going to move on. But, you know, I talked to a young brother. This brother has three kids right now. Their ages are, let me think if I got this right. There's 2, 3, and 4. And I told that brother he needs to start working out because you're going to have 3 teenagers within 2 years of each other, and they're going to surround you and outnumber you. So I told him, you got to get it together. Because you're going to have a 15, 16, and what is it, 15? No, you're going to have a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then a 17-year-old all the same time living in your house. So it's cute now because he's stressing out a little bit because you're losing sleep. But I said, bro, it's only going to get worse with you. So you need to start working out. You need to work on some cardio. You need to go, you got to learn how to pace yourself. But anyway. But that's for us too. We have to understand. We gotta be in training for what's to come. This faith walk, it doesn't get easier. It gets more challenging. Let me say it like that. Because the more we draw to God, the more the enemies is gonna. We're gonna become a target to the enemy. Because he knows if we can get us off path, there's a ripple effect. There's gonna be people who are watching us. People that we are connected with. There's people that, you know, if something happened to us, there's folk who's going, their faith is going to be waning, their faith is going to be weak. Because I'll say this, I'm going to move on. But, brothers, how many people you know who prayed or they prayed over a family member or sickness and it didn't go their way? And then because of that, they lost their faith. And the same thing, if people see us, our lives go left, You know how we have, because we have apostates in the church right now, because people are turning their back on God, which has already been prophesied, but that's another class. But in that, that weakens the faith of others. So do we want to be that kind of man? Because there's so much. That's why I say here, Israel Christian Mentor, all the time. If we look at what the biblical definition of husband and father is, some of us would never got married or had kids. I'm just saying. Because it ain't, it is not, is not like it is. No, God's requirement for those two things, as husband and father, a lot different than what the culture says it is. I'm going to leave it right there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to go back around the table here, brothers. We got one more. This is fun. I like this. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But so now we're going to talk about, now we're going to come to the big one, brothers. This is the big one. All right, I'm going to check everybody's oil on this one. Do we apply God's standards to ourselves as rigorously and as rigorously as we apply it to others? This is about accountability. Mm-hmm. This is about being in one accord. This is about, I'm going to bring this to y'all, brothers, but also we want to look at it too, because for some brothers, we hold our children, we hold our siblings. We hold, because I want to talk about family first. We're going to go out into the rest of the world later, but I want to talk about family. Because do we hold our children, our siblings, and our spouse to a godly standard at the point where we don't even hold ourselves to these standards? We have excuses. And how we have to be able to deal with that. Elder Mark, I'm going to start with you, brother. What do you say?
Well, I definitely want to go to, and forgive me not quoting exactly, but the word says that we should not look at the speck in someone else's before we deal with the log in our own. The speck in someone else's eye and the log in our own. We so often look at other people and judge their situation the whole time we're doing the same thing. Oh, my goodness, I can't. And let's talk about leadership. Oh my goodness! I can't believe they weren't in the leadership meeting. But I can't believe that they didn't have, that they the whole time didn't have anything to say when Apostle asked this question or Pastor asked this question. But then they the first ones to call and complain. But yet, you know they call and complain because you're calling to complain and they're on the phone with Apostle right now. You know, it's amazing that we look at people so, we look at other people and want to quantify their issues and not qualify our own. You know, we look at theirs and say, oh, well, they did this and they did this and they did this and they did that. It's all issues. It's all problems. Everything that we do outside of the will of God, everything that we do is still an issue. There is no sin different than any other sin in the eyes of God. It all calls for the same thing. Lord, forgive me. Every sin starts with the same thing when you come to repentance. Lord, forgive me. I don't care if it was murder. I don't care if it was sexual immorality. I don't care if it's you told a white lie. I don't care if it was because you didn't make it to church. Whatever it is, it all calls for the same thing. Lord, forgive me. Those three words are a necessity in any sin when it comes to repentance. So how dare we look at another person and say that their sin is different or hold them to a different level of accountability and not hold ourselves to the same. Because on that day of judgment, for any sin, we can all hear, leave me, I did not know you. Or in our level of repentance, in our asking for forgiveness and our commitment to God, we can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. The question is, which will you hear? But you're so busy worrying about what the other person is going to hear that you forget you have issues too. This is Issues Christian Men Talk. So as men, we all have a problem. We all have something going on. Just like Deacon said, none of us are here to speak on a pedestal because I know I'm not made completely right. I know God's still working on me, and I'm a project to be worked on. I fully admit I'm a project to be worked on. I am nowhere near the place I need to be to live my life and say that God has done everything in my life. The day that I reach that place is the day that I reach judgment, the day that I'm called for that is the day that I know I've done, that I've completed my journey. Until then, I am a work in progress. So how dare I look at another person in the midst of their progress, in the midst of their progression, and judge anything or hold somebody to a different accountability than I would hold myself. To say, I can't believe you did that. The whole time I'm thinking, how can I get away with doing this?
No, come on now.
I'm sorry, did I say too much?
No, you good, bro. Keep going.
All right, wait a minute. Amen. I'm sorry. You know, because, oh, man. See, that? I'm coming to you. Wait a minute. So get ready. Yo, because, brothers, I mean, that brother said a lot there. And again, this is what it's about. Because, again, it goes back to being a hypocrite. It goes back to how can we hold each other accountable when we are not accountable to our own selves, that we are not faithful, we're not honest with our own struggles, that we're not seeking the accountability from others, but we want to hold others accountable. That's the things we have to be mindful of. And then again, are we in, and let me say this, brothers, are you in an accountable relationship with another brother? That this is the brother you can go to, the brother you can pray with, the brother that, you know, my old scenario is you got a brother you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and he's coming to get you, you know, and these are relations we have to be, we need to be building or have built into, you know what I mean? Because this walk is not alone. We can't do this walk alone. We can't live this life alone. This is why we have the body of Christ. This is what the church should be, one to another, loving one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another. This is why the church is here. Again, if we look back over church history, if we look at what Peter was writing, you know, the churches Peter was writing to, they were under great persecution. They were setting Christians on fires and throwing them to animals, but yet he had encouraged them in their faith because they were being persecuted. They were just because of Christ, not because they had a nasty attitude. People didn't like them. They wasn't a social whatever. They weren't famous. They weren't infamous, whatever. Just because of Christ, they were being persecuted. And that's where's your encouragement going to come when the only thing people got against you is you a Christian? They don't care if you're black or white. They don't care what you are, where you live, your socioeconomics. You're a Christian, and they hate you. Because unfortunately, we here in America, we're not at that place. But even in that, are we faithful to the things, and are we holding each other accountable and encouraging one another? Because that's a thing too that we're gonna. But that's a whole another show. I'm going down a rabbit trail here, but again, you know, we just have to be in a place where do we apply God's standard to ourselves as rigorously as we apply it to them around us? Deacon Anthony, what do you say, sir?
Well, this is what I'll say, right? I believe for the most part, and I guess you could say our foundation of salvation, I believe we constantly critique ourselves a lot of times. And I say that because as a believer, okay, as a believer of Jesus Christ, if you're speaking in terms of holding other people accountable, but you don't really know where their heart is, you can't do that urgently because you just don't know their relationship with Jesus Christ or the changes that they've made or will be making. I think a lot of that was brewed and stirred up by different church organizations to get people to come to the building. So the more that I'm constantly critiquing you on standards of what I read in the word, but I'm not actually giving you the right revelation towards what it really means to come to repentance, then what I'll do is I'll use scare tactics of what you're not doing for God to get you in the building to keep coming, and me constantly telling you about, you know, you need to be held accountable for this, et cetera, et cetera. Number two is I actually find the world hold us to a standard as being Christian more than we do ourselves sometimes. It's just funny because everybody knows what a Christian should be doing, but they, you know, they're not Christians. It's like, you know, we may hear that a lot, and we may actually act upon it differently than somebody else may, in the sense of where it's either it's defensive, because that is a response from a lot of us. A lot of time, our defenses come up. Like they may ask us, you may have people ask us, why do we eat meat? And that's a big one in, I guess you could say, the religious worlds and the religious orders, et cetera. But I think what we need to do is a lot of times it's based on our response to the critique or the accountability, and make sure that they're using the word to hold the person accountable in its right context. You know, it's just, I can only pull you to accountability if I'm in a relationship with you, just as you were saying, because a lot of guys that are just coming to church, you just have those faithful churchgoers as far as the men in the church that still have a mask on, and they haven't revealed anything that they may be going through to be able to be held to accountability. Now, we could say, okay, well, you come to church, but you don't come to Bible study. And we may do that, you know, being presumptuous, not knowing what's going on in that person's life, and our approach is different. And before we make that statement, like Brother Mark was saying, not being hypocritical, make sure we come into Bible study, you know. So I think for the most part, what we should do is to allow the Holy Spirit to give us discernment. If the Holy Spirit is not giving us discernment to be able to engage in a person or to build a relationship to where it's structured off of us pleasing God together, because a lot of times a person can say, well, I want you to please God, but what I'm doing, I may not be able to relate to you because I don't know, you know, we talk, but, you know, I ain't that close with you yet. But I'm close enough to know what you're going through, you know. And it's different parallels like that that get us into a state of mind where you have more religious organizations trying to hold people accountable who are believers and who are born again. You'll have, and I ain't going to throw them all out there, but it's plenty of denominations that hold other people to a standard vigorously. Like Rick, like they'll say, oh, you ain't supposed to do this. You ain't supposed to wear pants. You ain't supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. And they throw a lot of different things that God ain't got nothing to do with. And we'll say that that's actually casting judgment on us. And what Brother Mark was saying, hey, take, you know, deal with the mote that's in your own eye and this beam that's in my eye, you know, you can't deal with it because you're not close enough to me because maybe my issues push our distance away. So I think we as men and issue Christian men, we need to make sure that we focus on our issues and that we actually get through them together, because you can't be in a body and not be concerned with the body. That doesn't make sense. Amen. If you're in the body, I have to be concerned with you because that body part is a member of my body, and I have to take it and make sure that we nurture together and we grow together. Otherwise, we'll have a lot of deformities in the body. And unless we build those relationships with these men that come in and not just say, okay, I'm okay and comfortable with you just sitting in the back row or in the corner somewhere, and we don't have no relationship to where we can't engage and try to figure out, hey, you know, I'm working on this issue, or be in a relationship on purpose, because a lot of men, we have so much pride, we're so secretive. And we want to build trust with people, but we like, man, I ain't as holy as him. You know, I just started here. You know, my wife told me come for Easter, and here I am. And then they get comfortable, and nobody built a relationship with this gentleman to where we know what we're doing, what other ministries is out there that I can get involved in. And, you know, who, you know, is it like it is with those other religious organizations? Because if people notice, most of the time, the things that they put on TV is Christian scandals. They never put on, you may not hear any other denominations or religions be on TV as much as Christianity or anything like that. And what it is it actually does, you know, creates this thing in a person's mind, or a man, especially a man. When he comes into the building called church, he has that pre-existing mentality that, oh, well, he a deacon, I know what he about, or he a pastor, all he about is the money. Or this person, now he trying to get over here and shake my hand and stuff, he might be interested in my wife. It's because all of these things have been put on TV, so men kind of like just play the background and say, I just want to be left alone, I just came, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to make sure that whenever we hold people accountable, it's in the right context, but it's also based on relationship. I can't hold anybody accountable. And when we build relationships, you notice we constantly working on our own issues. We ain't even focused on the other person's issues. We like, man, I got to wake up and read my word. Hey, man, I got to make sure I set time aside for my children and set time aside for my family and set time to be able to meet with brothers. And, you know, we hang out and stuff like that. But, you know, coming from a place of just saying, okay, because I'm a deacon or because I have a title, now I need to hold other people accountable for the gospel when they may not even know it. You know, so I think our mindset has to change, and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of discernment.
Amen, amen, bro. You know, I agree with some of the points you were making there, and you're right. It is. That's why. You know, we talk about men's meetings and men's gatherings and time for men come together to get to know one another and to be able to build those relationships that we can help each other, because you can't encourage somebody you don't know, you know, and you can't, you know, it is about building relationships. And the thing that I always talk about also is, well, you know, men, you talk to brothers and they don't need organized religion. They got all these excuses that don't even make sense. And it doesn't, and that, I don't say it like that because I might offend somebody, but the things they're saying is not biblical for them to say they're a Christian, but they don't like organized religion, or they don't like coming to church. What else is there? I don't understand. If you read, this goes back to what I always say. If we read the New Testament, and we read, especially Paul, the letters Paul wrote to the churches was because those churches had issues. If we actually read the scriptures instead of, you know, memorizing the cliche scriptures, he was writing to correct those churches, because that was not what he taught them. That was not the gospel when he was on his missionary journey. That's not the gospel he gave to them. That's not the example he left for them. So he was writing them to correct them a lot of things they were doing. So again, why you have an expectation that you come into, that you don't go to church because of people? Because you don't want to be around people, like you were saying, like Deacon Anthony was saying. The perception, you know, it's funny, because when you said that, I thought about that. You don't hear about any other of the major religions' scandals in the culture. It's always the Christians. All the Christian scandals are always on the news. You don't hear about the Muslim scandals. Well, our Muslim population here is, you know, it's different. It's not as majority, but you don't hear about the other religions having these scandals. It's always a Christian. I was just reading an article the other day about a mega church guy, the Hillsong guy, and what's the other? There's another church. Pastors, they're getting rid of these pastors because they were doing things, you know, and these immoral acts and having affairs and all this other nonsense. But these are all the prominent TV guys, but you don't hear that coming. Well, the Catholic Church is, you know, they're on a thin line. People consider them Christian, but Christians don't consider them Christian. I'll leave that right there. Amen. But you don't hear, you know, from the other major religions, you don't really hear all these scandals and things coming out in the culture to, again, discourage people to make that example. Like you say, people come to the church and they know, and then they see. And then some of it is on ourselves, because if we look again, if we look at the TV evangelism, what's going on there, the money and the prosperity, all that preaching that was done out there. But I don't want to digress and focus on the negative, but I do want to focus on the positive, because as men of God, we are individually responsible for our faith walk. We are individually responsible for our obedience to the Word of God. That's why we should be in the Word, understand the Word, studying the Word, and be in prayer for our own soul salvation, knowing what we believe and why we believe it, and then applying it and living it out. Because we can't blame anybody else for when we stand before God, when we stand before Christ, and to be judged for the life we live in the faith. Amen? So I just wanted to put that part out there, because, again, some of the things we were talking about, you know, are we trying to serve God and yet ignoring some of the things he's telling us to do? Are we living our life as if God doesn't know or notice our disobedience, like he's, like, looking the other way, like we used to hide stuff from our parents because we ain't get caught, so we thought we got away with it? God ain't that kind. And do we apply God's standard to ourselves as rigorously as we apply it to others? And, bro, I agree with what you were saying, too, because, you know, that whole, what the, you know, denominations put a lot of stuff. They put a lot of extra stuff in the Word of God to try and, you know, beat people into submission. That's what I call it. They just want to be able to beat them into submission and beat them into a box so they all, you know, their faith walk all looks alike and sounds alike or whatever. Because, you know, it's a lot out there. And, again, this is not what Paul did. This is not what the Scripture teaches. Because this gospel of Jesus Christ can go into any culture and be truth and be hope and be a revelation. And the morality part is, you know, there's a godly standard that the Word of God can bring to any culture, no matter what their norm was. It can be changed and transformed into we have the same norm as what the Word of God said. And that's why I say it's most important that we as men of God, as husbands and fathers, that we're into the Word, we're into understanding what the Word, knowing what we believe and why we believe it. And that's my passion, my whole theme, because that's the only way we're going to be able to grow and succeed in what God wants and call in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brothers, we're going to go around the board, around the table, and y'all can close us out. I don't know. Who wants to do closing prayer? First one to speak up gets it. No, just kidding. Okay, are you guys there, man? Come on.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. All right, we're gonna go. Deacon Lee, I'm going to come to you, man. Any closing comments, anything you want to share with the brothers as you're ready to close out? And then Elder Mark, you got it, being that you're the oldest guy on the phone. You can close us out with closing remarks and prayer.
Hey, man, I just thank God for, you know, the opportunity to share with the brothers and, you know, to come together to talk about the things of Christ. You know, we continue to pray for each other, especially our obedience to God, and examine ourselves and, you know, stir those gifts up that's on the inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives. So I truly thank you for this opportunity, bro. Prayerfully, we can encourage brothers to, you know, take up their cross, you know. It's about Jesus Christ and the days that we're living in. It's definitely necessary for us to pray for one another. You know, no matter what capacity we are, just being a believer by itself. It's a lot of things that's out there that's trying to oppress us and get our attention and get us off track. So I definitely just, you know, my heart goes out to those brothers and myself as well. We just got to be, you know, obedient to the gospel and make sure that we're ready to share the gospel. So I thank God for all things, and I thank God for this opportunity.
Amen, bro. Amen. Appreciate you. Thank you. And also, man, I want to thank both of you guys for putting in the time and spending this time, making yourself available to participate. I do appreciate it greatly. Elder Mark, you got it, and you can close us out in prayer, brother.
Amen, amen. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your holy, matchless name. Lord God, we come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord God, as we reverence you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, Lord God. Truly recognize, Lord God, that there is none like you, Lord God, and we are thankful for what you did yesterday, what you're doing right now and what you'll continue to do tomorrow as you bless us in the abundance that is you and you alone. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to join together, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves, Lord God, to learn more about what it means to be a man of virtue, a man of you, representing you, Lord God, representing you in the midst of this dark world. So, Father God, thank you for instilling in us, Lord God. Thank you for this conversation, Lord God. Thank you for the word shared, Lord God, that a mind would be changed, a heart would be changed, Lord God, that someone would wake up tomorrow with a different direction, a different understanding, Lord God, that they too would have a new vision, a new outlook on life, Lord God, realizing, Father God, that you are God and God alone, and that as we submit to you, Lord God, you are making the path straight, Lord God, that we lean upon you and not that of our own understanding, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, Lord God, for truly there is none like you, and we are honored to call upon you, Abba Father, thanking you, Lord God, for just pouring into us in the abundance that is you, Lord God, taking us to a different understanding, to a new height, Lord God. I thank you for my brothers, Lord God. I thank you for their dedication, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity to stand with them, Lord God. I thank you that they too are accountability partners in my life, Lord God. I thank you that we can join together to lift our praise and our prayer to you collectively, Lord God, but you know us individually, and you know each and every one of our desires and needs. And you continually, Lord God, reach out to us, Lord God, to show us your favor, your grace and mercy. And we say thank you for this opportunity and every other one that we have to join before you. So we honor you with our hallelujah praise and praise to the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless, brothers.
Amen.
God bless.